The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Thursday. Friday Eve is... Dom would call it. I call it the show must go on Thursday edition. Just moments before we came on the air, I sneezed my head off. And I don't know if you have ever met a violent sneezer. I'm one of those. Very violent. So if I need a moment to, you know, blow my nose or something, I'll try to use the cough button. But the show must go on. So let's go on. I'm going to ask a big question, a couple of big questions. Been thinking very hard about this. Activist friend of mine, Pizza Box Mike, you know him, you love him. Pizza Box Mike called me this morning, or I called him back. I owed him a phone call. He said, I got a bright idea. I think it's time to recall Ron Johnson. I said, recall Rojo? I like how you think, man, but... Dom said, you couldn't even do that. He said, he's wrong. I said, I know he's often wrong. Dom will join us at 4. We'll tell him he's wrong to his face. But we'll ask the question, can we recall a U.S. senator here in the state of Wisconsin? And maybe, should we recall a U.S. senator? And if so, when? So I'm going to try to answer those questions today on the big show. I think they're all very important questions. And the target of this question, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, new information's come to light, man. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Stick around 3:30-ish. We'll pick up this conversation. I've even got a legal opinion of sorts to reference, but I want to start today. Jim Troupas, and we've joked on this show once upon a time because I heard someone on the radio airwaves once say, who's Jim Troupas? And I thought to myself, do your homework. Jim Troupas is a bad man. And I don't mean like in the street gang bad sort of way. I mean in the political malfeasance sort of way. So who is Jim Troupas? Well, he was the co-architect, I would say, him and Kenneth Cheesebro, of the false elector scheme that originated here in the state of Wisconsin. He was Donald Trump's lawyer here in Wisconsin. What else? Well, he tried to have 200,000 absentee ballots thrown out. He was Trump's representative in the recall effort in Milwaukee and Dane counties. Interesting that, you know, he lives in this state and he would disenfranchise his own votes if it meant his guy could, you know, retain a presidency he did not win. Because if you've been listening to the big show, Joe Biden won in 2020. You know, contrary to what Jim Troupas and a few others would have you believe. In fact, if they had carried out their scheme, their, I would allege, criminal scheme successfully, well, Donald Trump would still be the president, perhaps dictator for life, and the will of the American people, small d democracy, probably dead forever. So, begs the question. Why would Wisconsin's very own Rudy Giuliani be able to oversee judicial ethics? Do you know who oversees judicial ethics, at least in part? Jim Troupas! Richard Neese. This reporting at the Wisconsin Examiner, March 21st, recent news. Just 1 month before Judge J. Janet Protasiewicz steamrolled Dan Kelly in the... Sorry, I'm having some sort of allergy affliction. I'll do my best. Just 1 month before Judge Janet Protasiewicz steamrolled Dan Kelly in the April 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court election, the court's four right-wing members, call them justices, although I hate to use that term, Annette Ziegler, Patience Rogensack, Rebecca Bradley, that's the bad one to my opinion, and Brian Hagedorn, hastened to reappoint Jim Troupas to the Wisconsin Supreme Court Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee over objections from the good Bradley, Judge Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, and Jill Karofsky. Yes, that Jim Troupas, Wisconsin's very own Rudy Giuliani without the drippy dye hair. The Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee was created by our Supreme Court to advise Wisconsin state court judges on how to ethically perform their duty. Seems ironic, doesn't it, folks? According to the Code of Judicial Conduct, SCR Chapter 60. The Code of Judicial Conduct, in turn, was adopted to ensure that, here's a quote, judges individually and collectively respect and honor the judicial office as a public trust and strive to enhance and maintain confidence in our legal system. During his three-year term as the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee, Troupas plotted with now-convicted felon Kenneth Cheesebro to hatch the fake Republican elector scheme and export it nationwide to overthrow the legitimate 2020 presidential election. His treachery was well-known then and has been recently reconfirmed by his own documents. Let's not forget, two Fridays ago, what? A document up as part of the settlement, the Cheesebro and the Troupas had put a lot of incriminating documents in the public scope. At the same time, Troupas represented then-President Donald Trump in his frivolous anti-democratic attempt to convince the Wisconsin Supreme Court to void lawful presidential ballots in Milwaukee and Dane counties. This is all in addition to Troupas' central role in rigging Wisconsin's legislative maps for the Republicans during Scott Walker's tenure as governor. So if you didn't know, Jim Troupas, he's been involved since at least the Walker days, right? Part of the gerrymander, the bacon of the cake. Back to the reporting here at the Wisconsin Examiner. Not to mention, during his brief stint as a Walker-appointed judge, Troupas authored a 2016 decision comparing surrogate pregnancy as a way for same-sex couples to become parents, legal under Supreme Court precedent, to child trafficking. Let that sink in. Judge then appointed by Wanker, Judge Troupas, wrote a decision where he said surrogate pregnancy for same-sex couples should be child trafficking. I like his judicial temperament. How about you? Sarcasm, just in case you didn't know. Troupas' reappointment is just one example of the often short shrift approach to judicial ethics embraced by our former Republican-controlled Supreme Court majority, having already gutted longstanding ethics rules governing disqualifications and conflict of interest situations, substituting lax rules drafted by their own big business campaign contributors, think the WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and the WRA, the Realtors Association. They wrote the recusal rules for the state of Wisconsin. And having already closed all administrative meetings in which the People's Court business was conducted since reopened by Justice Protasiewicz's investiture, having already created special courts for business that compromised judicial independence and equal treatment for all, the court majority once again anointed Troupas, now an alleged unindicted co-conspirator, I allege it every day, to serve as an ethics beacon for hundreds of state court judges, acting in good faith as fiduciaries for the good of the people. Instead of disbarring Troupas for his electoral dirty work and referring him for criminal investigation as they should have, Justices Rogancic, Ziegler, Bradley, and Hagedorn welcomed him as one of their own and rewarded him with a position of undeserved trust that he still holds today. Predictably, Troupas has denied any wrongdoing in his recent settlement of the lawsuit that further exposed his unscrupulous election meddling on Trump's behalf. But so what? That just means he is not only ethically challenged, but too cowardly to admit wrongdoing even when he's caught red-handed. Craven self-interest is another reason Troupas shouldn't be advising judges on how to behave under the Code of Judicial Ethics. Why our current Supreme Court majority hasn't booted Troupas, and we're talking to the new Supreme Court majority, right? The supposed liberal majority. Why our current Supreme Court majority hasn't booted Troupas from the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee since Justice Protasiewicz's swearing in is beyond me, writes this author, in light of his sordid history. What does Troupas' membership on the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee even arguably advance its mission, let alone the public's respect for our courts? Why would anyone care what Troupas thinks about judicial ethics, except perhaps those who don't care about the judicial system, except for those perhaps who don't care about judicial ethics at all? Those are the ones that would, you know, seek guidance from a guy like Jim Troupas. Richard Neese wrote this March 21st, 2024 at the Wisconsin Examiner. We've shared it on our Facebook page as we do, and you can be a part of this fun program. That's how we play. 844-967-2789. The question asked soon, should we recall Ron Johnson? Can we even do that here in the state of Wisconsin? Dom did one Google search. No one's ever recalled a senator before. Guess can't be done. Dom, you got to try a little harder. And if we have any friends on the court, please consider reinvestigating the judicial oversight being offered by Jim Troupas, who I'm not clear why is not under criminal indictment in the state of Wisconsin. The question was asked off air again by me and others to me today. What the hell is the Attorney General Josh Call doing? Come on, man, get off the schneid. More Devil's Advocates, the Thursday edition. The show must go on, sneezing, allergies, and all. 844-96-PARTY.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Jim Troupas must go. Welcome back, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll soon ask the question, can we recall Ron Johnson? Should he go as well? But Crudy's not doing his job. I'm going to get recalled from this position, this esteemed job as radio announcer. Civic Media having their ride into spring text-to-win contest. And Crudy's not doing his part. The 3 o'clock hour has come. And we haven't given you your keyword to win. You got to use the Civic Media app. And if you haven't gone to the apparently Apple Monopoly iOS store or whatever the other people use, the Android store, what's it called? I don't even know. I'm an Apple Monopoly guy. But get the Civic Media app. And you got to use the texting feature during this show to the greatest radio show ever. You can use the feature to text right now and your key word to win. I know you've been waiting for like 15 minutes. Win. W-I-N. Win. The key word, the 3 o'clock word for this hour is win. Text it in now. Use the Civic Media app. Good luck to you. What are you trying to win? Well, daily entrants, including today's winners, are entered to win one of two grand prizes, including brand new bikes, a 3-in-1 party blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. You know, it's the Ride into Spring event. And for daily winners, including one each contest hour, meaning this hour, you better start texting the keyword WIN, W-I-N, and you could win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort and Wisconsin Dells. So win, W-I-N. Good luck. I hope you win. See what I did there? 844-967-2789. Mark, I see you there. I'll get to you next. Want to get one more quick topic out there. We've got Bob Spindell as a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. And if you're unaware, he's also a fake elector. And I take a little umbrage to the fact that we've got a fake elector, someone that should be criminally indicted, in my opinion. At minimum, it was a conspiracy to commit fraud. But how can this person continue to serve on an esteemed board? How can they make decisions about the election? Setting aside, you know, the untoward things that Bob said about suppressing Black and Latino voters. Let me turn off my computer. That's on me, folks. My bad. Rookie move. But he still serves on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the Bob Spindell character, the fake elector, the guy that said that Republicans, through their concerted efforts, suppressed about 38,000 Black and Latino votes in the Milwaukee market. Was quite proud of that as a guy who heads up one of the congressional districts for the Republican Party of Wisconsin. That Bob Spindell. My senator, Diane Hesselbein, who happens to be the Senate Minority Leader, we're working her into the schedule very, very soon. And Haywood, who Rep. Kalen Haywood, he's a younger guy, one of the youngest ever elected to the Wisconsin Assembly. Well, they've got a little legislative proposition, and you think this would get a lot of support. Everyone should co-sponsor this one. Hesselbein, Haywood, move to bar fake electors from the election oversight in the state of Wisconsin. By law, I love this idea. In a move the legislators noted should be straightforward and common sense, Senator Diane Hesselbein, Democrat from Middleton, and Rep. Kalen Haywood, a Democrat from Milwaukee, today circulated legislation that would bar fake electors, talking to you, Bob Spindell, who actively sought to disenfranchise Wisconsin voters from serving in an official role regulating elections, notably the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Could they make it any blatantly clearer? Here's a quote. It should be obvious that anyone who sought to eliminate the votes of millions of Wisconsinites cannot be entrusted with overseeing future elections. Now, is she talking about Spindell or maybe Jim Troupas? Unfortunately, too many in the current party majority are oblivious to the threats to democracy they place in these positions. Now, the legislation Haywood and Hesselbein circulated would prohibit a person who had attempted to file a false set of presidential electors, again, looking at you, Bob Spindell, as was infamously done in Wisconsin and other states following the 2020 election, from serving as a member of the Elections Commission or its staff, serving as an administrator of the Elections Commission, or serving as an election official. All seems like good policy. One more quote. It is clear that individuals who actively work to disenfranchise voters should never be granted a role in shaping democratic process, says Rep. Haywood. We must remain vigilant against those who threaten the integrity of our elections. And noting that Republicans in both houses prematurely pulled the plug on legislative work, Hesselbein and Haywood said the election integrity is just one crucial issue, one of the many crucial issues left unaddressed in this session, and renewed calls for the legislature to go back in session. Do your freaking job. I mean, it's not election time yet. It's freaking March. 844-967-2789. Mark, appreciate your patience. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Coot, for taking my call. Usually I call in later in the day, but this is just kind of sad that, and I don't think they're oblivious to the threats to democracy. I don't think they care about democracy anymore. I think these guys are paternalistic, grasping onto the fifth commandment, and that they think that they're the substitute for our fathers and mothers, and the government should rule over us all, and democracy just shouldn't be in existence. Jim Troupas and Bob Spindell both violated their oaths to the Constitution. I mean, pure and simple, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, as you already pointed out today, the fake electors thing was an attempt to abridge our right to vote. Perhaps not our right to vote, but our right to have those votes actually counted toward the electors we selected for the state. And, I mean, they should be, if you see them going in a restaurant, you should just go, you know, what the hell are you doing in here? I mean, they should be denied the company of law-abiding.
They can't eat publicly in your world, Mark? Man can't have a Sammy at the deli in your world? Because, you know, he would threaten to overturn democracy.
I think that might be appropriate because, I mean, what do they want to roll our republic back to the days of when the Roman Republic, and I've said this before, when the Roman Republic collapsed and that, you know, leaders had to worry about how they had to have a taster for their food so make sure it wasn't poisoned by their enemies. I mean, is that what they're gunning for?
What about carryout, Mark? Is carryout acceptable? Can a false elector, can Bob Spindell get carryout? Can he buy fish fry tomorrow night and carry it out as long as, you know, he doesn't plop his ass down at the bar and make a spectacle?
Maybe we'd have to issue was that kind
okay,
of
what about Uber Eats, Mark? Can he order it through a third-party app?
I suppose, but I mean, I'm just angry about this as you guys are. And these guys just violated the Constitution, and neither one of them should be in public office again ever, because it's just a blatant violation. Because they don't care about democracy, they wanted to install a dictator, pure and simple. And that's what Donald Trump would have been if he would have got back in office. And we're all on the list. We've all been denounced, and you know, I don't know if we'll be in the same detention camp together if Trump gets in power. That it is just. Maybe I'm being hyperbolic, but I get fired up sometimes, and it just is sad that we have to tolerate them being in public office at all.
Mark, appreciate your phone call. Maybe local restaurateurs should have a policy. Don't serve a fake elector. You know, they can go to the grocery store. They can get the sandwich at Quick Trip, but don't serve them there. Don't let them eat at your tables. Don't let them socialize and enjoy a good dinner. You know, it's up to you, but... Freedom says you must deny them service. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday the Show Must Go On edition. I know I've left a few of you confused about the civic media right in the spring text to win contest, because I checked your entries. The word today is win. The 3 o'clock word is win. So if you're playing along, utilizing the Civic Media app in the text feature thereof, the word is win, W-I-N. I saw a couple of you thought I said sun, like the sun. That ain't it. It's win. Like, let's win the election in the fall. And one of you, I believe Tracy from Johnson's Creek, spelled it like my dog, Wynn. My dog's name is Wynn, but that is not spelled W-I-N. And I'm sure they're using some sort of, you know, AI cheat code or something. So spell it right or they probably won't enter you. You still got time. Use the Civic Media app. Use the feature, the text feature, and text the word win right now to qualify. And that's all I'm going to say about that for a while. Here's a question. My buddy Pete Spox Mike, he called me up and we had a little chat this morning. And I got to tell you, I always start from a point of skepticism. I always ask questions. I'm a tough sell sometimes. Been a salesman for a long time. You know, you can't BS a BSer, as they say. So I got to tell you, I started the day a little skeptical. The question was, can Wisconsinites recall Ron Johnson? And before we, you know, talk about, is it a good idea? You know, is it legally plausible? So I did a little digging. And fortunately, there's a smart attorney in the state who wrote an opinion piece for the Wisconsin Examiner. Because perhaps she thought it pertinent. Maybe at some point, someone might want to consider recalling Ron Johnson. So could they? Mel Barnes with Law Forward, March 10th, 2021, about 3 years ago, she wrote this little op-ed piece. The idea of recalling Senator Ron Johnson has been floated in recent months by constituents upset by his behavior since last November's presidential election. I'd say it's gotten worse. However, can he be recalled is a different question than should he? Only fairly forgettable, Wisconsin's senior U.S. senator has kept himself in the news lately, advancing conspiracy theories about the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol and delaying pandemic relief for millions of Americans by demanding that Senate staff read the entire bill aloud. It's not surprising that many Wisconsinites are upset. That's way before the Lev Parna stuff, the new stuff we found out, the, you know, the facilitation of the handing off of the fake electors. Anyways, it's not surprising, as Mel Barnes writes, that many Wisconsinites are upset and looking for a way to replace this unmoored politician. In Johnson's case, they'll have their chance soon enough. Well, because his term was up in 2022. And several would-be successors have already announced their bids for a seat. You know, the Mandela Barneses and the Sarah Godlewskis and the Tom Nelsons and the Alex Lazarys. But what if Wisconsinites can't wait? Well, now it's past that time frame. Or more generally, what if a senator had 4 years remaining on his or her term and the people had had enough? Yeah, that's where we're at now. This is why Wisconsin, like many states, adopted a way to replace elected officials who strayed too far from the will of the people. Wisconsin added the recall to its constitution in 1926, but it has never been successfully employed to remove a member of the state's congressional delegation. Now, we've seen state lawmakers successfully recalled. George Petak, I believe, guy from Racine, committed the crime of voting to expand the taxation to Racine County on County Stadium when they were first built in Miller Park, right? And that was his crime. And he got recalled for it successfully in the state of Wisconsin. But that also turned the balance of power in the state from Republican to Democrat, if I recall. So it was an important recall. Also, we all remember the Scott Walker recall. Hard to forget those of us that lived it on the front lines. But back to the question. What about those that serve in the congressional delegation? Well, here's what Mel Barnes says. Wherever you land on the should we or shouldn't we, when it comes to Ron Johnson, it's not clear the law is settled on the can we. Wisconsin law says you can recall a U.S. senator. That part is quite clear. The state constitution, the statutes, and the guidance published by the state's election agency all say you can recall a U.S. senator or a representative elected in Wisconsin. They lay out the how to do so. In Article 13, Section 12 of the state constitution is a progressive era. Yeah, I like to think I'm a progressive era. Good government reform approved by Wisconsin voters in 1926. It allows Wisconsin voters to recall any elected state, county, judicial, or congressional official with some common sense limitations. First, the elected official must first have completed the first year of their term. Remember, I was very anxious at like 12:01 a.m. to start printing the Scott Walker recall ballot like a year after the guy had been in office. Second, a recall petition must be signed by a large portion of the voters, at least 25% of the number of votes cast for governor in the last election in an elected official's district. Well, if you want to recall a U.S. senator, you got to include the whole state of Wisconsin, right? Chapter 9 of Wisconsin statutes gets into more detail on what a recall petition should look like. I'm discussing whether or not legally U.S. Senator Ron Johnson could be recalled by Wisconsinites. And again, lists congressional officials amongst those eligible for recall, writes Mel Barnes with Law Forward. Specific directions for a recall of a member of Congress are provided in the Wisconsin Elections Commission Recall Manual, Recall of Congressional, County, and State Officials. It states that for recalls of congressional members or U.S. senators, the Wisconsin Elections Commission is the filing officer to whom recall petitions must be delivered. Certainly sounds like there's a means under Wisconsin state law, does it not? Well, Mel Barnes clarifies. The recall manual isn't law, but it reflects the Wisconsin law clearly anticipates recall efforts aimed at members of Congress. There is also a 1979 opinion of the Attorney General noting that Wisconsin's recall law applies to members of its congressional delegation and instructing a predecessor of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to accept recall petitions filed against a member of Congress. Again, this would seemingly put it in the column of, yes, it might be feasible. So Wisconsin law permits the recall of a U.S. senator. Isn't that all we need to know? A little bit more. Mel Barnes writes, well, no. If Wisconsin's law conflicts with the U.S. Constitution or federal statutes, federal law usually controls. Federal law, and she puts it in quotes here, preempts states from making and enforcing their own laws in many areas. Tell that to Texas in regards to immigration. I read on. Some classic examples are parts of the product liability and copyright law. A federal law doesn't even need to be the exact opposite of what the state law says. If the federal government has weighed in on the topic, state law may be shut out. In order to know if Wisconsin can recall a senator, we need to know if federal law prevents the state from allowing a recall. So I read on. Courts in a few other states have reasoned that federal law preempts and prevents those states from enforcing their own state recall provisions against members of Congress. But neither the U.S. Supreme Court nor any other court with power to bind Wisconsin has ever considered this issue. Here's what the federal law does have to say about senators. The U.S. Constitution specifies their qualification and term lengths. Article 1, Section 3 requires senators to be at least 30 years old, a resident of the state they represent, and set terms for 6 years. That resident part, is that going to be a problem, Eric Hudby? The 17th Amendment provides for popular election of senators and addresses midterm vacancies in a Senate seat. The Supreme Court has held that states cannot add more qualifications to those set out in the Constitution. When Arkansas, adopted term limits for congressional officials, the Supreme Court struck down those limits, deeming them as additional qualification on top of those in Article 1. Without reaching the issue, the opinion also suggested recalls might impose additional qualification, which was the reasoning the Idaho District Court had earlier used to limit its state recall law to non-congressional officials. But can a recall by the voters really be considered an additional qualification for federal office, Mel Barnes questions? Term limits prevent the seating of an otherwise qualified candidate from for an additional term, which can reasonably be viewed as an additional qualification. A recall, if successful, would remove a member of Congress after they had been seated. This means it's not an additional qualification for office, she reasons. There are a handful of other constitutional provisions that could arguably preempt a state recall of federal officials. Article 1 sets the Senate term at 6 years, not shorter. But a governor is permitted to appoint a senator to fill a vacancy until the next election if state law provides for it. Wisconsin's does not. Article 1, Section 5 provides that the Senate itself can expel members with a two-thirds vote, but nothing in the Constitution says that it is exclusively a remedy for bad behavior. So looking at the issue broadly, Congress has the power to regulate federal officials, but so do states. And states use that authority. States decide how federal candidates get on the ballot, be it nomination papers or party caucuses. States decide whether to have open or closed primaries and set the hours for polling places and differ from state to state. As we saw in 2020, states have a vast array of options for voting early or voting by mail in federal elections. Look at Georgia's 2020 Senate election. State law required a runoff election with no candidate receiving over 50% of the vote, meaning Georgia didn't even choose its senators on the same day as other states. If states have this much power over the elections of their members of Congress, why couldn't they also have the power to allow the recall of its members? So, the Congressional Research Service, a nonpartisan government agency, published a report concluding members of Congress cannot be recalled. That memo, like the WEC's recall manual, is not law. It relies heavily on discussion of framers' rejection of proposals for recall of senators, but that discussion fails to account for the 17th Amendment and the shift from legislative appointment to popular election of senators. It does not explain the fact that many states adopted recall laws, including congressional recalls, and those laws were not opposed as inconsistent with the 17th Amendment's ratification. So whether or not Wisconsinites can actually use the state's recall law against one of their U.S. senators is an interesting and consequential legal question, but the answer may be less clear than anyone would like. It may not be safe to assume that as a senator in Washington, D.C., you're beyond the reach of voters in Wisconsin before the next election. Well, that's a little blurry, Mel, because it says, if I understand your legal opinion here, as you write it in this op-ed, it says that effectively Wisconsin state law permits the recall. Hell, there's a manual on how you go about recalling a congressional member, a senator. For example, let's say U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron's term is going to run for another 4 years. Another 4 years. That seems like a lot of Ron. And Ron seemingly has found himself criminally part of this greater conspiracy, this fake elector scheme. And I would say that's information that had not come to light in 2022 when he was on the ballot. That's new information. What Lev Parnas testified to in the U.S. Congress under oath yesterday. That's new news, Ron. I know you would deny, say you had no part, but we've yet to see you under oath. And we certainly haven't seen you under the pressure of a recall. Should we do it? I'd like to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Dom joined soon. You could join right now.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Feel like I'm getting rickrolled, never going to give you up. 844-967-2789, Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Thursday edition. The prospect of recalling Ron Johnson, it was proposed to me this morning. It made me think a little harder. And I went and started Googling, looking for a legal opinion. I trust that of Mel Barnes, at least as a start point for my research. And she said, yes, under Wisconsin state law, the recall of a U.S. senator is certainly permitted. Under federal law, the supremacy clause were much less clear. So we've got a solid legal maybe. Maybe we could do this, or maybe we couldn't. But I'm not clear, but I think it could be worthy of an effort if we can decide why. Why? Why should we recall Ron? Well, I can give you 100 reasons why, at least 99. But my question is, should we? You know what I mean? Like, should we? Is this a good idea? What I'm doing right now, just so you know, I'm doing a little math on the radio. I'm not always good at this. So I'm using a calculator in real time, and I want to make sure I understand how many votes would be necessary, or pardon me, ballot signatures, to help Ron qualify. And if I understood the qualifications to trigger a recall, it would be 25% from the last gubernatorial election. So I pulled out the Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, and Joan Ellis Beglinger race from 2 years ago, right? Now, ironically, Ron Johnson was on that ballot. That was when he was reelected. But Evers got about 1.358 million, call it 1.359 million votes, 51.2%.
Michael's $1.268 million, and Joan Beglinger got 27,000 votes, just a few more than that, 1%, with 100% of the votes in. So I added them together, and we would need roughly 663,529 recall signatures. Now, I remember the initial claim with Scott Walker, about a million. I think it actually came in actuality, 900,000 plus, but not a million. So it's been done before. But should we? Should we, if we can, should we want to hear from you? 844-967-2789. Last chance. Also, if you're participating in the Civic Media Right into Spring Text to Win contest, last chance for this hour, text in the keyword WIN, W-I-N. Use the Civic Media app. Use the text function thereof. Right into spring by texting WIN. But back to this recall thought process. Want to hear from you and a few people. Got opinions. I want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Jeannie from Eau Claire, welcome to the show. How you doing, Jeannie?
Pretty good. I didn't realize that you were on this time of day. I found you, you know, on YouTube. So I thought, oh, I got to call him. You know, my situation is lock him up. Lock him up. That guy should be locked up. And if we have to do a recall, I think good planning for it. Definitely, he should not be sitting in that seat representing us when he's a criminal. Sorry about that, but this is my personal opinion, and god darn it, I watched him. I watched him live in Russia. I've seen his antics, and it just makes me sick. And once people learn about this, I hope that, you know, because more need to learn about this. I just wish that he was being investigated now in our state. And I hope people are calling our attorney general. I call him a lot, you know, to get going on this because we need something done. But thank you for the information. You're doing a great job, Crude. I appreciate you.
Well, Jeannie, I'm sorry you can't hear me locally on the tap 93.5 during the 3 o'clock hour, but stick around. Dom's going to join in about 5 minutes. We'll continue the big question. You know, I almost reread the contest, Jeannie. I almost did the Civic Media Right into Spring. But the question, the more important question, appreciate your time, Jeannie, is recalling Ron Johnson. And I think we can. I mean, in terms of legality. It certainly seems under Wisconsin law that that would be a possibility. There's always the possibility that the U.S. Supreme Court, which seems pretty partisan to me at this point, you know, they could jump in and try to change the outcome, try to save their boy, Russian Ron. But setting that aside for just a minute, you know, can we? Let's assume we can. Legally, let's assume we can. Then the question becomes, should we? 844-967-2789. Joe calling in from the south side of Milwaukee. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Mike, absolutely not.
Okay. Strong opinion. Why not?
It's just, hey, we had our chance in 22, right? And we came up short. Now,
yes,
we got to examine what we did wrong. We have to examine what we did wrong there before. Otherwise, it's going to turn out like another Scott Walker thing. It's only going to make him look better. You had it nailed when you were talking about that election then. We did it wrong. We you know, we didn't have our debates and stuff, and we didn't carry it out, and we lost. I mean, you know, no matter how much we want to brag about getting Walker out and getting Trump out, we lost that one, and we got to own it, you know, and we got 4 years to think about it.
Well, that is the only race statewide that the Democrats have lost since Donald Trump became the president. But, Joe, don't you think some new information's come to light, man, in terms of Ron Johnson's specific conduct?
Please. We all know he's a crook. There isn't nothing new here. Nobody cares. They don't care. You know, every time something comes out about Trump, they don't care, right?
So you're suggesting that the corruptness of the Rojo was already baked into the cake?
Oh my God, yes. They don't care.
Joe, okay, let's say, what if we have a differing circumstance, a change in circumstance? What never happened during the Scott Walker recall? He was never charged. What if Rojo is criminally charged through his connection to the conspiracy of the January 6th, or perhaps even, you know, for disseminating false Russian information, as Lev Parnas would allege? Joe, does that change anything if there's legal action against a sitting U.S. senator?
I'll call back when that happens, you know, because this and butts are candy and nuts, so we're just going to have to wait till then, Crute.
All right, Joe, man. Thanks for listening, dude. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We'll never desert you, never let you down. Come back. Dom's going to join right now. We'll continue this conversation, and I'm sure there's more to be talked about. The clock ticking for Donald Trump. Is he going to use the bankruptcy courts? I had seen that recommended to him. But, you know, that would hurt his ego, I suspect. More Devil's Advocates. More of you on the phones as well. 844-967-2789. Should we recall Ron Johnson?